Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Vinanek, and I am a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us on this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. All are welcome after the service today for a Faith in Action Fair being held in Redeemer Hall. This event will showcase the council's committees and other organizations of the church that are available for you to share with your talents. Please join us to learn more and to discuss the ministry of the group with current members. New members will be received on June 2nd at both services. For those interested in becoming a new member or in learning more about Holy Trinity, we will be holding one class on Sunday, May 19th, following the 10:30 service. Please call the church office to make your reservation or if you have any questions. Join us for a cross-generational day of learning on Saturday, May 11th from 10 to 2 p.m. Two workshops will focus on cultural shifts and generational differences and how the use of cell phones affect us. Please call the church office to make your reservation. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you, and God bless.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray together. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the young people to come forward for the children's message.
Pastor Brenda is away with the confirmation class. They're actually coming, probably on their way back at this point, having been on retreat all weekend. I was with them Friday night, so it was good to be with them. So I got one question for you this morning. And maybe just pause to think for a second before you raise up your hand, but anybody can answer this one. What would you like to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? A soldier. A teacher. A nurse. A what? A soul. All right, so somebody in military service, a police officer. Yes. Professional disc golf player. Your father's aspirations. Yes. What? A daughter. Any thoughts? One more. An MLB baseball player. All right. Well, so interesting story this morning in the gospel. Because after all the big stuff that we heard about Easter, after Jesus coming back from the dead, after Mary and the women saying, "We have seen the Lord," and seemingly everything has changed, everything is different, do you know what the disciples did? You know what they did? They went home. They went home. They went back to what they were doing before they had met Jesus, before Jesus had lived with them and loved them, and before Jesus had died and come back again. They went back to everything they had done before. But you know what? So Jesus showed up again and met them again back in their hometown when they were doing what they had been before. And Jesus essentially was saying, "I want you to keep moving forward, that I'm going to go with you into your future. And you may not know where you are going or what you are going to do. I want to tell you that you have permission to change your mind from whatever you think you might want to be right now. You can certainly go for that, but that could change 100 times between now and when you choose that." Or even some of us, we're still trying to figure out what we want to be when we grow up. But the good news is this morning is that Jesus goes on ahead of us and promises to be with us and to continue to fill us with gifts in our future so we don't have to always just look back. So God goes with you in whatever you are dreaming, wherever you are going, and all that you are learning and experiencing. Know that God goes forward and has a future in mind for each one of you. Amen? Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks that you love us in our past and for who we have been, but you even love us into our future. So seed us with a gift of love, that love might sustain us in all the days to come, and that we might live into the future that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So good to see you. Miss Sue's class, I think you're staying with us in worship this morning, which is awesome. Disc golf champions.
Let's stay together.
Oh, she's in my class.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is recorded in Acts, the 9th chapter. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now he was going along and approaching Damascus. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The word of the Lord. The second reading for today is recorded in Revelation. the fifth chapter. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." And so Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now, this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after he said this to him, he said, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please, you may be seated. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks, Lord God, that you name us and claim us as your own, your beloved, calling us your very own children, and that you give us this day as a gift, not one promised to us, but one in which we are privileged to receive your grace, love sufficient for this day, and hope for tomorrow. So feed us again with love, that it might flow from this place in an abundance and be shared with the whole world in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here I beckons with wordless call. Here my soul with heart enthralled. Here I whispers while earth I roam. Here I wait the call, come home. Like seagull cry, like seaborne wind that speaks with words beyond my ken, a heartfelt cry with words unsaid calls a wanderer home instead. Hiraeth is a Welsh word that doesn't fully translate into English. It is a longing, a deep sense of longing for home, and so Tim Davis, in his poem of the same name, tries to express that feeling. Most of us have been afflicted by homesickness at some point in our lives, a pang of nostalgia and longing for familiar faces and sacred spaces. Mark Leary, the professor of psychology and neuroscience at Duke University, defines homesickness as a state of emotional distress that people experience when they are separated from supportive friends or family members and in an unfamiliar environment. In many ways, it's a sense of loneliness combined with a sense of feeling out of place and wanting to return to what is familiar and supportive environment. Early human society set the stage for feelings of hiraeth, of homesickness. Because we human beings do not have the natural defenses that some of our creature neighbors would have that would allow us to defend ourselves in the wild. We have no fangs, no sharp teeth. We cannot fly. We cannot camouflage or run faster than our predators. And so the only way that our hominid ancestors survived was by living in cohesive social groups where members cooperated with one another for food, for defense, for care of children and family. Leary believes that homesickness probably evolved to discourage people from leaving supportive groups when our prehistoric ancestors lived in small nomadic bands. I've observed and experienced that hiraeth, homesickness, can especially kick in during times of tension and trauma. I can remember that my father would talk about where he was on 9/11 just outside of New York City, out of town on business. And that after the days of that event, instead of wanting to be there wherever he could help, he just had this sense from the inside that he just wanted to get home. Joy Moore, lead pastor of Bethel United Methodist Church in Flint, Michigan, writes that after the resurrection, in a season of great expectation and equally great disappointments, hours are enough to create doubt. Days pass into weeks since the reports of the empty tomb were confirmed by Jesus' appearances to those who knew him best. And the disciples were waiting on the Spirit that Jesus promised, but they didn't know what to do while they waited. Hiraeth was kicking in, wanting to go back to what was familiar, to go back to what they did before the hype and all the hope. It seemed like a good option at the time, But the events of triumph over tragedy are not in order to send the disciples to a life of their past. This was to be the place of safe harbor when the rest of the world had come crashing down around them. A consequence of the departure of Jesus, the delay of the promised return, and a deficiency in their community. For one of their own had betrayed Jesus, handing him over to the enemy with a gesture of love. Peter had sworn amnesia when asked about the Galilean, three times denying allegiance to him. And disenchanted by the humiliating reversal of their plans to overthrow their political enemies, they were left to scatter. And now, Peter and his friends are living in the meantime. So what do we do when we are waiting for God's next move? What do you do when you are waiting to see what God is doing next in your life? Pastor Moore responds that delayed gratification has always been difficult for the children of God. But I heard somebody say that the belonging that you seek is not behind you, it is ahead of you. And so the disciples give in, seeking the comforts of home, not knowing how to move forward, so going back to what is familiar. Peter, with at least six of his good friends, goes back to what they know. But then confusion is compounded with disappointment when these career fishermen fail to catch anything at all after an all-night fishing fest. It felt like Good Friday all over again. And then comes Jesus, who comes calling to them again as he has called to them before. Put your nets down on the other side. Echoes of the first call of the disciples when Jesus encountered these salty sojourners. And this entire experience, the whole story as it has been told by John, has been an invitation. That the resurrection appears confirmed and Jesus' lordship confessed is an invitation, not a conclusion, not the end result of the story. God has a mission. And the mission is not about heaven when we die. It's not about how many converts that we can win to our denomination. It's an invitation into the discovery of a God who comes down, who breaks into ordinary lives in ordinary places, who spreads out a feast that all people might be fed, and who works justice through those who love the Lord. At this break of day, the disciples need to grasp who they are in light of the resurrection. And at this break of day, we need to claim who we are in the light of the resurrection and in the light of day of the 21st century. For the disciples, their former professions have been transformed into God's mission. And that mission is just as unpredictable as fishing all night and catching nothing, only to be invited to a breakfast on the beach with a friend who knows just how much you love them. We were this close to our sacred meal every Sunday morning being some dried fish and bread instead of the bread and wine that we share, for this was a sacred, holy moment. In this place of familiarity for Peter and his friends, Jesus commissions them for their future, fed with forgiveness three times. Reconciling those three denials, Jesus shows Peter the way forward. Feed my sheep. Tend my flock. Feed my lambs. This church stuff will not be about turning back or going home to what we once knew, but it will be about using every experience that we ever had, all the gifts that we have gathered, the power of our relationship to live into God's mission into the future. To feed God's people with grace upon grace. God has a mission, and God's mission is the church. According to Rachel Held Evans, an incredibly powerful and progressive Christian writer who died far too early just yesterday morning at the age of 37, described the church in this way. This is what God's kingdom looks like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry and because they said yes, and there is always room for more. Within my ears, the sea air sighs. The sunset glows, it fills my eyes. I stand at edge of sea and earth, my bare feet washed in gentle surf. Here I, longing to call me on. Here on shore in setting sun, here I calls past sunset fire. Look beyond, come far higher. Amen. Led into our future with faith, we are bold to confess that faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on page 10 in your worship bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came out from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. You call your disciples to follow the way of the cross by their words and works of love. Make your church a place of welcome and empathy for all people. Strengthen the ministries of the Buffalo City Cluster, Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Every creature in heaven and on earth sings your praise. Give us deep appreciation for the vibrant diversity of creation, flowers and streams, animals and bugs, sunsets and stormy skies. Help us to conserve the beauty around us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Come to the aid of those who are persecuted, oppressed, or imprisoned by hostile governments. Walk with refugees and immigrants as they seek safe homes. Raise up leaders who are generous and hospitable to migrant families, and shelter all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Bring relief to bodies weary with pain or sickness. Bless doctors, nurses, hospice workers, home health care providers, therapists, social workers, and all caregivers who demonstrate your love in acts of healing and tenderness towards those in need. Today, we especially pray for Tony Glico. We pray for those that we now name out loud and all those that we remember in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You feed us at your holy table and send us out to feed others. Bless those who fish, bake, and cook, restaurant servers, grocery store workers, and food pantry volunteers. Open our eyes to your grace present in every meal that we share. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially this morning, for Morgan and Rowan, hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. All honor and glory and blessing belong to you. We praise you for the faith of the saints. Be near us as we await the day when we will feast with the risen Christ forever. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Let us pray together. Risen One, as you broke bread with the disciples on the shore, meet us now in this meal. Nourish us to follow you, using our gifts to feed the hungry and tend the weary, and all for your love's sake. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are indeed holy, almighty and merciful God. You are most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed,
our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me."
And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks
and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me."
For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Living God, you have greeted us in our brokenness and nourished us with the body of Christ broken for us. Risen to new life with you, send us now to bear your healing love into the wounded world. In the name of our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. I ask you to please remain standing, and Eucharistic ministers, please stay where you are as well, as just before our final benediction, we want to bless our Haiti mission travel team. Now, if this is seeming like deja vu to you, and if you are saying, T, I've been here twice before in the last 6 months, and I have blessed this very team, yes, you have. Now we need to ask you to bless them even better because we haven't made it there yet. So we truly need your prayers to make a way for us to get there. And so we invite the travel team to come forward. Susan Bunt, Kathy Chrissy, and John, who is here with us. John is the added blessing. He is what is different about our team. He is our newest member. And because John's coming, we will not be disappointed. We will get to go. And so also we have Guy Huber and Kurt and Mary Kaufman and myself. Did I name everybody this time? All right. Reading from St. Matthew. Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their leaders exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever be great among you must be your servant. Whoever be first among you must be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And a reading from Acts said, "While the congregational leaders at Antioch were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. I invite you, the congregation, to raise both your arms in blessing. Your hands are God's hands, so just raise up both your hands over these, our travel team, and let us bless them. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, for you sent your Son into our world to proclaim your kingdom, and by his death and resurrection to reconcile all people according to your gracious plan. You preached good news to the poor, proclaimed liberty to the captives, healed the sick, and set the oppressed free. We pray, Lord God, that you would now send forth your apostles to proclaim the good news of salvation and to fill them with power. Bless these your servants, O Lord, in the work that you have called them to do, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit they may show forth your love to all people and glorify your name. Amen. Amen. We bless you. I will join you. We leave Thursday morning at O Dark 100 Hours. Pray that you would cover us while we were gone. We return. So we leave this Thursday, returning the following Tuesday.
are the body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.